Well, here we go then. All Dulwich Hamlet fans. The man you love the most. Here he is. Oh, Gavin.
How are you doing, Dave?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Yourself?
I'm well, thank you.
We've got a friend of yours. He's been dying to ask you questions for 7 days. So away you go, Keith.
How you doing, Gav?
I'm well, thanks, Keith. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks, mate. Gav, we had, we had Terry from Margate on here the other week, last week, sort of speaking about your brand of football and how sort of highly acclaimed the job that you and Junior have done over at Dulwich over the years. How do you take things like that? Obviously, you know, you've brought Dulwich up that from a club that was a big club anyway, but and now their gates have gone through the roof to where you are. Is something that's, you know, I've known you for a lot of years, sort of going down the divisions, even for your youth football, where you install this way of football to every team. Would you consider changing that to get promoted?
I think we've had to think about that ourselves. We do believe in trying to play a certain brand of football, which is supportable. But obviously, the pitches don't always allow for that, and the conditions, and also teams you're playing against are not going to allow you just to do what you want to do as well, you know. So I think we are adaptable. We found it a little bit difficult in the last month or so to actually change our style of play and still be effective. We have changed our style of play, but we've not been as effective, to be quite honest with you. But at the end of the day, it's a results business, and we're here to try and get results and not look pretty first, you know.
No, that's exactly right. Can you explain, obviously, you know, it's a million-dollar question, but as you just said, your form over the last six games has been, it's been poor, but you're still in the playoffs. And is that just due to the good work that you've done over the course? Everyone has a sticky patch. It's not, you know.
I think, we've got to give credit to the players that we went on a very good run for mid-season. I think we surprised a few that we got ourselves right up in the top part of the table, to a point where we probably could have been looking at trying to contend for the league itself. And with that sort of run, it gave us, I suppose, a cushion that this six-game run we've had, which we've not done very well, it still means that we're still up there. Normally, you go on a run like that and you probably would be out of it straight away, you know. So it gave us a little bit of a buffer. We obviously haven't played for that buffer. We generally just try to, you know, win the games, obviously, but we just have, you know, been a little bit out of form.
Gavin, I mean, we were looking earlier on at the fixtures that, you know, the top three have got, and I've just seen what you've got left as well, and everyone we seem to look at just looks absolutely horrifying.
I wouldn't want to play anyone in our league. I think our league's the sort of league that anyone can beat you. It proved the same last season. I don't think you can look on paper and say, oh, they're great, they're going to be a tough game. I think every single team, bar none, can give you a good game in our league, and I think it's proven that this year. So I think on paper, all the fixtures are difficult, but I think it doesn't matter who you play against in our league, it's still going to be a tough test.
We were looking at, I think me and Keith were looking at Maidstone's, and we looked at Maidstone's, and I think they've got everybody around them in the last sort of six, seven games. It's like, people are saying Maidstone are going to win the league, but I certainly wouldn't want their fixtures. I mean, looking at the fixtures, you would say Margate are going to win it if you look at the actual fixtures that are actually there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think if you look at the fixtures, but I think Jay's been fully aware of the running for a long time. They're probably mentally prepared for that because they've seen it from the start of the season that it was going to be probably quite a tough run in anyway. They've given themselves the best chance, I think, Maidstone, because they've been the most consistent team so far. And I think if you're winning it games week in, week out, as they have done majority of the season, I think they're the team to beat, really.
Yeah, I think you're right. Gav, what teams impressed you or surprised you throughout the season?
It's a funny one. I mean, we've played Enfield away, and I thought on the night they were very good, and they've had a good run of late as well. Also, Hendon have done well, but I've got a lot of respect for Gary down there. I think they've always been consistently a decent club, and they've got better and better as time's gone on. So I think they've done well as well. Margate and Maidstone ain't really a surprise to me. I think everyone knew they'd be there or thereabouts this year. So I don't think there's been any major shocks in terms of who's done really well this year. I think maybe Hendon, maybe people say Hendon have been maybe a slight shock because of how consistent they've been.
Yeah, when you started the season, what was your ambitions? Obviously, everyone knew that Margate and Maidstone would be sort of the front favourites. Yeah. And obviously, you know, yourselves last year, had a great year. But what was your sort of targets I was set by the club? Because, you know, you lost a couple of massive players from you last year. And I don't know how you do it, but you seem to keep unearthing these great youngsters. You know, and everyone's looking at that as well. And like I said, it's just the hard work you and Junior do. But, you know, what was your ambitions?
Personally, our ambitions were to try and win the league. I know that might sound crazy, but we just think that at the end of the day, it's a long season, and there's no reason, no one's got a divine right to win the league at the start of the season, you know. I know that maybe resources for other teams might be a little bit better, but it doesn't mean they're going to win the league, you know what I mean? And I think Stone and Margate have seen that how hard it is to actually win the league. You might have strong players and experienced players, but they still have to go and do the job. And I think that we had the mentality that we could surprise a few. So within our dressing room, I think there's a little bit of sort of underachievement in our dressing room at the moment, because we know that we're capable of probably producing a little bit better than so far. But we still know that we've still got something to play for, you know.
Yeah, like I said, it's the final 5 weeks and plus the playoffs. It's you know, if you get promoted, and everyone has been saying this for the last sort of few months. Oh, if it goes to the playoffs, I fancy Dulwich. I've said this, and you know the way you play, and you know I don't think you'll fear anyone, and your attacking options and your pace throughout the side. I think yourself on your day, you could actually win that, and it wouldn't be down to sort of hard work with you and Junior, and obviously what the club's done. But what's the ambitions of the club? I know, or the actual situation of the club with the ground. I know we spoke. What's the up to date news of that?
As far as I know, like obviously with the current owners, Hadley, the club are trying to get a new stadium, put it further back, and we've got some astroturf what we've used historically over the back, and we're trying to convert that into a new stadium. They want to do a project with property around the current stadium now. So they're sort of around the sort of planning application to start mid-stage now, to be honest. And it looks quite promising. I mean, I think it'll be a great venture for us as a club, because the revenue streams will make the club more sustainable. We're in a brilliant growth period in terms of the fan base. But it's kind of sort of that might not remain, depending on results.
How's that fan base come about? I know obviously last year, and obviously you had your group of your Turkish supporters following you around. Have they stayed and people just come, or have you got someone actually in the club that's gone out and that was their sole job to make the fan base bigger?
I think it's a joint effort. I think we've gradually got better as a club on the field, which is always appealing for a supporter. Mm. And it's easier than to sell. I think the club committee have worked tirelessly this year and as well last year in terms of different initiatives to get people into the ground. We've done that collectively, but especially the committee guys have gone out and thought of different ways to get different sort of clientele into the ground. And once there, hope that the football team play an attractive brand enough to keep them coming, you know. So I think it's a joint effort. Like I say, I think we've worked tirelessly on the football side and the coaching side to get a team that's been competitive over the years. And then the committee have worked really hard off the back of that. And credit to them, because they've really done well, because the gates have obviously, as everyone can see, obviously grown.
I mean, Gavin, are you looking to bring any more players in for the running in the next couple of weeks?
We've only got a few days because of the deadline. So, I mean, if anything comes up that we feel can really help us, then yeah. But we're pretty confident with what we've got in the changing room. Because like you said, Keith, once we get in the playoffs, we do our job to get in the playoffs, and you know, we give anyone a game over one or two games. You know, so we we're quite confident Walter's got the best of it.
Looking at the league table, we were talking about it earlier, Gavin, that anyone up to 14th can still get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as though you've been sitting there and you're thinking, oh, no, it could... And I've been saying this a week, because I've watched a lot of the Ryman Prem this year. It just goes to show how strong this league is, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's that a sure bet, like I said earlier, for a game to be decided. I think when we... after the games, when you look at the results, you never know what you're going to see, to be honest with you. You know there's going to be a few shocks every weekend. Of late, Hendon have been the only one who sort of belied that, and Enfield as well, apart from this week. So it just shows the strength and depth, like you said. But for us, I think we're quite happy that there's a lot of teams going for it because of our bad form, what we've been in, it's sort of helps us because everyone's beating everyone else as well.
Yeah.
I think if we hadn't had that situation, we might have found ourselves in a much more precarious situation.
Yeah. Well, after, obviously, you said about your form, and so I mentioned a bit. Yeah. Surely you must take a lot of sort of pluses out of Saturday. You know, you went a goal behind early and, you know, got a goal back and then back down again. It was a to and fro game, you know. And you know, it did show a lot of character. And I spoke to Kovo last night as well, and he said the same about his team. So it's, you know, that's going to give you a good platform, hopefully, to now push on again.
Definitely. I think all players are human, and they've had a little bout of lack of confidence just because if you keep losing, it's human nature, just like if you keep winning. And you did see a little bit of a lift in them, even though we got it snatched away from us at the end. They sort of got back that little feeling of, you know, look, we can go on and do this again. So that was good on Saturday because we showed a lot of fight, like you said, a lot of hunger to get back in it, a lot of confidence as well. So we should, you know, that should be a stepping stone for us to start pushing on again.
Do you also think as well, and you won't make any excuses because I know what you're like, but your crowds obviously over the few months have sort of gone up quite significantly, and you have got quite a lot of youngsters in your side as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that could have affected them a little bit, a bit of sort of nerves or whatever?
Yeah, definitely. I think at the end of the day, they started the season with the crowd sort of averaging 600-700.
Not bad.
and then it swelled again. I mean, what happened is last year it was pretty similar. It was 600-700 and it swelled to over to like 1,000. And this year it's gone above the 1,000 mark, so... But when you start the season, you get 600-700, and that's pretty good for non-league football at our level.
Yeah.
And then it starts doubling and even, you know, going even above that. I think, it's a different mindset. Whereas the start of the season, Maidstone know they're going to get 1,800.
That's right.
You know, average. The players know that from the get-go, and their mentality is, as well as being experienced, their mentality is ready for that and geared up for it, you know. So. That's definitely been an issue, but it's something that I think the boys are getting their heads around now.
Also on the other side of that as well, and this is it gives yourself a lot of credit, is that you've got crowds like this, and obviously you've gone through a bit of a blip, like every team does, but you must be one of the only managers that wouldn't get any criticism. That's got to say a lot for yourself.
But we're quite in a unique club because... Mm. It's probably one of the only ones I know where if the players don't do so well, they don't get the players back. They encourage them. Same with the chance sort of thing. They don't think, you know, you're no good no more just because you've had a bad spell. The supporters are very sort of grateful for the amount of effort we put in at the club. We know that isn't normal at every club, and then, you know, we're very grateful to have supporters of that mentality. You know, it really is a joint effort at our club. Players, management team, committee, supporters. It is a family club, and that sort of really spurs us on, you know.
I mean, is it a case now, Gavin, you know, with the sort of playoff situation, is it a case now of trying to sort of like make sure you get a home semi-final?
I don't know if that's made any difference. We travel very well away as well in terms of our support.
Well, the way you play, you hit teams on the break with your pace as well, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if being at home or away makes any difference to us. So I just think getting in the playoffs and then we will sort of, you know, take it from there, really. That's our main thing.
So with these playoffs coming in, obviously yourself and Junior must be itching to play. You must miss that part as well. I know management obviously it's the same, but you know, you were both very good players.
Yeah, I wish you could sort of run around still, but we can't. Age has caught us up, and unfortunately, but we do trust the boys, and we've got some really, really good players and talented boys who can, for sure, can take us over the line.
How do you get this success, though, over the years, that your youngsters sort of move on to big clubs, you know, your pro clubs? You know, because like I said, you have got some great youngsters, and I know what you do sort of off the pitch as well, but there's a lot of people listening don't, and obviously they know what great football you do and things like that, but how do you get these lads through?
It's not easy. I mean, it's the sort of thing that we try, and a lot of boys come and say they want to be professionals and they've got the talent to be professionals, and we just let them know the reality of how hard that actually is. It isn't easy. It's a lot of consistency, hard work, and then you often find a few of them, probably the more talented ones, fall by the wayside because they're not willing to put that hard graft in and be consistent, and also be humble in terms of listening and learning. So we make it obvious that, look, if you're willing to go through all that sort of thing, then you've got a really good chance of maybe having a career higher and for a longer period. But there's no point in sort of giving them something that's not reality in terms of professional football, or else they'll get a culture shock if they ever do go on a trial or ever do get a contract. So we try and make it as realistic to professional football as possible, obviously with our surroundings being not quite the same. In terms of mentality and just habits, good habits and stuff like that, you know.
Do you find it's difficult, though, because obviously your reputation you've got, that, you know, there's a lot of clubs always coming to watch you?
Yeah, very difficult. You know, it's not always feasible for the club to put a lad on a contract all the time. You know, that's not easy in terms of guaranteed money going out the door. Also, when they're youngsters, they can have a good 2 months and also have a bad 3 months, you know what I mean? So we can't just button every single one down, and it means that 1 or 2 might slip through the net. But you've got to make a calculated decision and a calculated risk. In terms of what ones you do put on contract, and the ones that you maybe just say, you know what, we've got to take a risk here, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, for us as a club, it isn't just about selling players on. We want to be a club that progresses the league as well, and challenges. So it is a hard one, because you don't want to lose these boys, because it's part of your, you know, what you're trying to do to go up.
So is the actual the club itself, I mean, even down to the youth, I mean, have you got a strong youth set up there as well?
We have. We run our own academy. It's called the Aspire Academy. We've run it for about 13 years. And it's set up around, obviously, football and education. Similar to many other academies now. And we gear ours up to basically give the boys opportunity, obviously, to maybe have a career in professional football and non-league football, but also further their career outside of it from their education, you know. So that's the main purpose of our academy, and it's probably pretty others. And like I say, we always try and hone in on, you know, if you want to be the best, then you've got to practice to be the best from an early age, from right now, not when you get an opportunity, you know.
Have you got like the babies as well, the sort of, you know, sevens and tens and that sort of area as well?
Yeah, we've added to that, to be honest with you. We at first it was only an under 18 youth set up, but now we've got a couple of under 9s, 10s, 11s going upwards, and we've got like ex players like Peter Adeni, who's looking after the junior section for us, from sort of 14 downwards, and he does a fantastic job. We've got a lot of players who actually play in the first team who've come through the academy, who are coming back to coach as well. They're coaching sort of under 9s and 10s, which has given them a great experience and also responsibility in terms of them growing as well as within themselves. So it's a good sort of feel-good factor in terms of, you know, everyone sort of evolving and challenging themselves. So it's a good environment.
With yourself, Gav, obviously, you know, I know what you're like. You've got ambitions yourself. Where every time sort of a big job comes along, especially where we live, you know, you and Junior always mention with what a great job you've done. Is it something that you're looking to push on? I'm not saying you're looking to leave, Dad. Obviously, hopefully, you'll take them. You know, go with them.
Yeah. I think obviously short term, I'd like to try and progress Dulwich up to the Conference South, I think that is probably the minimum level that Dulwich should be playing at, to be honest with you. And that's no disrespect to the league we're in now. I just feel that the club stature and the fan base should be playing in that league, you know. So we'd like to at least get the club into that level. Of course, we're ambitious ourselves and we'd like to move on at some point. It may be at a point where we can't take Dulwich any further, or maybe we've just probably spent too much time at Dulwich. And that time, you know, will obviously come at some point, one way or another. But as long as we keep working hard and trying to do the club justice and ourselves justice, then hopefully the rest will take care of itself in the future.
Yeah, that's good. I tell you what, I will ask you though, if I do ever get another job in football and we come over and play Dulwich at Dulwich, is there any chance that we can try and win a game? Because the last two times we've come to you in the last 2 years.
Yeah. I think you deserve to win both.
Oh,
you deserve to win both, and I've probably got the Indian sign over you, to be honest,
Keith. Yeah, you have. But they've been two great games. The one last year, I don't think my side, I think that's mostly the best we've ever played. And we pressed you and you still beat us.
Good attacking football, wasn't it?
It was a good advert for the football. But like, again, that's what you two are renowned for, so...
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the playoffs you wouldn't fancy playing? Got a hoodoo over you?
No, not really. We've had some boring games against Met Police. I've got to be honest with you. We've had some stalemates against them. Two in the league have been 0-0 draws.
Yeah.
We lost in the trophy, but we were quite under strength in that game. But yeah, they've been quite boring. But I wouldn't say we'd want to avoid anyone, to be honest with you. You know, at the end of the day, if we're going to get up, we're going to have to beat whoever we come up against. So, no, there wouldn't be a fear in our dressing room about playing anyone.
Is there any pressure from the club to get you up?
No, professionally. There isn't. The club are very supportive. Obviously, everyone's passionate and they want to win. You know, I think it's almost like we set out without probably any pressure whatsoever, and then you start winning every week and everyone's ambitions sort of grow with it. Which is natural, I think, but no added pressure from within the club about going up. Just probably hopeful, you know.
Have you had any players stand out for you this year? You don't want to tell them about, but
we've had a bit of inconsistency. We've had players play really, really well at stages and then fall out of form. I think Ethan Pinnock's been the most consistent player.
He was excellent in the other week when I see him.
Yeah, he's been really consistent all year. He's been through our academy and played in the first team since he's 17, and he's really matured this year. He's held down his position as centre-half, and yeah, he's a really good lad, good pro. He listens really, really well, and I think he's got a good future ahead of him. So he's probably been the most consistent. The player who's probably got the best individual talent this year has been Ashley Carew.
Yeah, he came from Dover, didn't he? He's a good player.
That's right. Yeah, he's, to me, talent-wise, can play a few leagues above this quite comfortably.
And how about young Vidal? Obviously, I know he's your top goal scorer, but...
he's been...
in and out, isn't he, for you?
Yeah, he's been in and out of late. Carew's, I think, got one goal more than him from Saturday, but... Yeah, Vidal's probably in his third season now as a senior player. He's just turned 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a lot of football under his belt.
He's a talent, isn't he?
He's very much a talent. You know, we've got to be careful we don't burn him out because he's still quite a young body. He's not even formed into a sort of a man's body yet, really. But, yeah, excellent talent. And, you know, I'm sure he'll give us it'll be a good boost for us for the running.
I must have said for some time of how tight it is up there between Maidstone and Margate. One, it wouldn't surprise me to see Hendon nick it at the end.
Yeah.
And sort of two as well, I've said from day one as well, I don't see Maidstone and Margate both getting promoted. I can see one or the other getting promoted, and then whoever drops into those playoffs probably end up not getting the other place.
Yeah, a few people have commented on that. I think because... obviously, the expectation has been on Maidstone and Margate, rightfully or wrongfully, because obviously they've had, you know, got good strength and depth and stuff like that. I think obviously the disappointment of one not getting automatic may well obviously mentally, you know, take its toll on the other. You know, so if it's Hendon do sneak up, then I think both teams probably, it might be probably better for them that they're both in the playoff. I'm not sure, you know. But everyone's sort of touted them from the start of the season as being the favourites, and they've had to contend with that all year. And then obviously one of them will go up automatically, hopefully, and then obviously the other's got to sort of contend with picking themselves up and going again.
Why do you think Hendon's done so well, Gavin? Is it just their sure work rate? Obviously, like I said, Gary's done, he's done a great job there. But
he has, yeah. They're very, very well organised, but they've also got a really good team spirit. I think Gavin's got, had some lads around him for a few years now, who he's been very reliable to, and they've been obviously loyal to him as well. And he's added one or two very good players along the way. Casey Ivey, I used to play with when he was a young lad. I know he's a very good player. And the other lad, Smith, up front.
Leon, I've always rated you.
Yeah, and they've also got another player, Andre.
Doesn't live too far, Leon, from Dulwich, do you know that?
No, he doesn't. I know, I've missed out on him, unfortunately. But, no, I think he's added some real good quality in the higher areas of the pitch. And, and obviously the other lads have been very loyal and they work really hard and they're well-drilled. So I think that's probably where Gary's, you know, had some fortune and also done very well.
We've going back to your own side. How's the fitness of Harry Ottaway since he's obviously bad injury last year? I know. I see him play against Lewis the other week. Is he back to 100% full fitness?
It's a tough one because when he's come back originally, he was coming off the bench and doing really, really well. Probably ran off adrenaline, but he hadn't had a base of fitness from pre-season. So we were sort of just sort of dipping in and out. And then because he was doing so well from the bench, we thought, you know what, he looks like he's ready to sort of start.
Yeah.
Started a few and then he hit a brick wall just because he hadn't had a base of fitness. And we had to sort of try and get in a few other forwards to come in and sort of give him a bit of rest. Realistically, he probably shouldn't really even be in the action this year. He's, his willpower to get back is really the reason why he's sort of in contention to play. He's had two bad, you know, a broken leg for the majority of last season and then a sort of, wasn't another break, but it was like a little fracture this year as well. So it's quite two serious injuries, and for him to even sort of be back out there is great. But he realistically needs a strong pre-season, a good rest and a strong pre-season. And I think we'll see the best of him again.
Yeah, because he was a talent, wasn't he, before his injury?
Yeah.
He was,
100%, very good player and a very good lad as well.
Yeah, good. How's young Jordan doing, who I had for a little while?
Jordan's a good lad. He's never say die, to be honest with you. He's always really, really worked hard. He's been good in the dressing room, motivation-wise, for the players. He's played in a numerous amount of positions and never really complained about it. So he's been a very good squad member this year. Of late, he's been starting as well, and he's been starting on merit.
Oh, good.
It seems to have been this year as well. I mean, we're talking about injuries and stuff there, but there seems, especially in the Ryman North, there seems to be some horrific injuries this year with leg breaks and so forth. And you know, it's considering there's only sort of three leagues and stuff, that the amount of real bad injuries there has been this year has been, it's been really sort of a weird season for those sort of injuries.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that I know there's been a few insurances starting to come out, and people talking about getting cover for players. And I think the mentality, obviously, of a non-league player over the years traditionally has been like, you know, don't need cover.
Yeah.
Probably won't happen to me. But I think it's getting to the point now non-league players and clubs have to start looking at cover, because these boys are working really hard whilst they're out on the pitch. And the injury, them getting injury is the same risk as a Premier League player getting an injury. Difference is they've got no resources around them to get back fit, and they might not be able to go back to work the next day or for another 3-4 months. So I think it's probably even more so needed for insurance at our level. So I think that's something that we probably need to think about collectively as a club.
You're right there. Obviously, the Ryman League do the insurance that covers players. I think that's one of the rules. But it's not a massive one, as you said now. And they're not like little injuries. Dave's right. They are picking up some, you know, long-term ones now, and it could be something that clubs might need to just invest that little bit more so the players get that payoff. And I know some players, maybe if you said to them at the start of the season, look, you know, we might have to take an extra 30 quid out of your pay packet for a first week, wouldn't even grumble, because it would give you that extra amount of cover.
That's right, no, definitely. I think it's something that, some players might grumble, but if it happens to them and they break their leg or something like that, they won't grumble. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you've got to help someone out, even when they can't see the benefits of it as well. And I think as a club, we've sat down and spoken about it, and I think it's something that we're going in that direction. There are a few insurance companies out there, and I think there's Our Game, which a former player, Francis Duke of Ours, is launching, and it's all about sort of cover and making sure that, you know, your time off work isn't sort of affected financially.
Yeah.
Gavin, it's been fantastic speaking to you tonight. It's been a joy, I must admit, and we've been sorry about last week, but literally it's been fantastic speaking to you, and hopefully me and Keith wish you all the very, very best for the rest of the season, and hope everything goes according to your plan anyway. So hopefully we might speak to you at the end of the season, and all the very, very best.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.